Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
We welcome back University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're also pleased to welcome back our special guest, the executive director of Rhode Island's largest teachers union, the National Education Association Rhode Island, Robert Walsh. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Pleasure to be back, Ian.
We're taping this ahead of an expected vote by the State Board of Education on whether or not to extend the contract of State Education Commissioner Deborah Gist. Bob, why is your union so sharply opposed to extending the contract of a person who some see as an important change agent for education in Rhode Island?
I don't disagree that we needed a change agent in public education in Rhode Island. We've just picked the wrong agent, because a change agent also has to engender the support of the rank and file in the command structure, and we're not in a situation where that's occurred. We engaged with our colleagues at the Rhode Island Federation of Teachers and Health Professionals, engaged Joe Fleming to do a poll to gauge member sentiment on this issue, because people weren't believing us when we were telling them, and the numbers were worse than we thought. 85% of our classroom teachers don't believe that the commissioner's contract should be renewed. 90% don't feel that the Department of Education is communicating with them on an effective basis. 82% feel less respected. I mean, the poll goes on, and we released it a while ago, and it's in the dialogue. But there are also concrete educational reasons. The commissioner herself set out 33 benchmarks for student achievement performance. Only one of those was met in the last 4 years.
What do you make of this criticism, Maureen? Would these be valid reasons, in your view, not to extend the contract of Commissioner Gist?
I certainly think it should be a factor. I mean, the fact that she has not have been able to bring along more of the teachers, we would expect to have some pushback. This is a very different system. My question to Bob is it beyond that, for example, the testing issue? Are you opposed to testing? Or are you opposed to this test? That seems to be a core issue.
Yeah, obviously teachers aren't opposed to testing, but they have a phenomenal ability to gauge when a test is a fair test because they give tests all the time. The authors, the creators of NECAP, have sent letters to the Rhode Island Department of Education and issued publications saying this test is not to be used to determine graduation requirements. So this test is used to determine how schools are doing, how students do on an overall basis, so we can adjust course and deal with that information accordingly, not at the end of the process in 11th grade tell these students, oh, by the way, and this test will also determine your future. And then they go on and spend another $1 million to do a change order so they could take the same test that they shouldn't use again.
I'm going to stop you there, Bob, because I want to get Scott in. Scott, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. Education has to go a long way in Rhode Island from where it is now. How do you analyze this situation involving Commissioner Gist?
Well, one thing she's done is certainly raise the profile of Rhode Island nationally, and she's brought a lot of federal money here. Is $50 million the race to the top? So I think she has achieved some things. I understand some of the teachers are not pleased with her, and I think that early on she probably could have been a little more collegial with the teachers rather than so sharp-elbowed, and I think that's one of the problems. Every commissioner and every person who wants to make change has a shelf life, and I just don't know how long her shelf life is here and whether or not she can effectuate change. And the biggest thing, and nobody knows how to do this, no one seems to know how to break this horrible iron link that we have in this state between the socioeconomic background of the parents and the achievement of the children.
Isn't that the case in all states?
Well, Massachusetts actually has done better than we have on that.
The House and State Senate are taking steps to reshape the State Economic Development Corporation, but Governor Lincoln Chafee wants to give the EDC's new leadership time to show what it can do. Here's Governor Chafee speaking with me this week and explaining his rationale.
Let's not get diverted into reorganization, valuable energy being spent into reorganization of new departments. We're going in the right direction. Let's get that continuity, that momentum, keep it going.
Robert Walsh, there are just a few weeks left in the legislative session, so what do you expect to come out of these conflicting views on the future of economic development in Rhode Island?
Hopefully a reasonable compromise. The wrong questions are being addressed. This isn't as much a structural problem as it is a understanding what government can do to forward economic development. As your listeners may remember, I used to be in the finance and banking world. Businesses in Rhode Island need access to credit on a reasonable and timely basis. They need to understand the rules and regulations of the state, and their needs need to be met quickly. The governor needs to treat economic development the way he successfully treated the issues at the Rhode Island Department of Motor Vehicles. Put somebody in there, be a change agent, make things efficient, and get them done. I don't care what the structure is. I want to see outcomes.
Let's go to Scott.
I just think that he just appointed Marcel Valois, who had a very good record with the EDC back in the 1990s under Governor Lincoln Alma. They did things like bring Fidelity here, expand FM Global, diversify the state's economy into financial services. And this was very, very good for the economy. Of course, then we had the 2008 crash. But nonetheless, I would give him at least 10 or 15 minutes to see what he can do before we go reorganizing the entire department.
What do you say, Maureen?
I completely agree. I mean, I agree with Bob and I agree with Scott. We have a new person in place. He has a track record. Let's not make huge structural changes at the end of the session. Let's see how this plays out with a new leadership and a new emphasis. And then, you know, look back on it. But I do think I support the governor in this. I think his arguments are correct. And I think we should wait and see after Valois takes over how this plays out.
We're seeing more discussion about whether Rodin should default on the moral obligation bonds for 38 Studios. I want to go very quickly around the panel, yes or no, and a quick explanation of why you think default is the right or wrong thing to do. Scott?
Maybe. I don't think we should do anything before this lawsuit plays out. Let's see if we can recover some money from the law firms and the big banks.
Bob?
It's a maybe because it's not a $100 million problem. We're not going to pay the interest. That knocks it down to $75 million. We've got $25 million in reserve. That knocks it down to $50 million. Get the insurance company in there. Get those bondholders in here and settle. And we'll probably get enough from the lawsuit to make it a zero problem. And this has not been explained to the public. And it's incredibly frustrating to the public because they're not getting the information they need to even understand the issue.
Maureen?
We all agree. I agree we should do exactly that. We can build the payment back into the budget. That was the question now. And then wait and see until these lawsuits play out. I think moving now is imprudent, and I think we have to wait and see.
The state's largest public employee union, AFSCME's Council 94, has hired one of State Treasurer Gina Raimondo's most prominent critics to scrutinize pension practices in Rhode Island. Raimondo's office reacted to the move to hire Edward Sedell by criticizing his credibility. Bob, what do you make of this, and what does it mean as we head toward a contentious Democratic primary next year?
The truth is still the truth. If the media brought forth the truth, then the treasurer's office might criticize that. I probably wouldn't have put someone on the payroll who had already done something from a journalistic approach because it raises questions just like the treasurer raised. But the truth is still the truth. We have way too much money in hedge funds, and it probably cost us, ironically, about $75 million over the last year and a half.
How about you, Maureen?
Actually, I disagree. I think we have to. Gina Raimondo is in a perfect position to respond. You're talking about one investment strategy, and she's arguing for another. I think if this gentleman does his reports and comes out with a report for the unions, she has plenty of data to back up the case. So there's many other states that are moving their investments in that direction.
Not in this direction. Maureen, I am the chair of the investment committee of our national pension plan. I got a significantly better rate of return using the commonly understood and accepted investment strategies. My rate of return beat Gina's rate of return because we weren't in hedge funds the way she was, and we didn't pay the fees.
But that's a changing field.
It's not. Not the way she is. She's wrong. She's absolutely wrong.
We can wait and see.
That's enough for you, too. Let's get Scott in on the back and forth between Edward Ted Sedell and Gina Raimondo's office.
Well, first of all, the union has the right to hire anyone they want. They're paying this gentleman, and they need information. Now, the information they get because it's their members, and they want to know, is this system solvent for their members in the future? So they certainly have the right to do this. And I guess the treasurer, if she wants to get into a political match, which we don't even know how it's going to come out yet, she's allowed to do that also.
Scott, is this a harbinger of more union opposition for Raimondo's expected gubernatorial run?
I don't think we know yet. I think one thing we've seen is, obviously, I don't see any unions that are going to be jumping into her camp. However, that said, I think organized labor right now is laying back and waiting to see what happens. And I don't see a union endorsement coming until sometime next year.
Very quickly, Robert Walsh, because you were smiling a few seconds ago. What are you thinking?
Well, more opposition was an interesting turn of phrase. Scott's correct. It's a long time between now and when we make the final decision. But we know the case against the treasurer and may be the case against the governor, depending on what happens.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Great to be here, Ian.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And Robert Walsh from the National Education Association, Rhode Island.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.